The house of the Lord this Lord's Day. I hope that you've had a blessed day in the Lord and that you're still feasting upon the things that we spoke of this morning and that you will continue to feast upon those things tonight. I had to get a songbook because we're going to be talking out of the songbook tonight. So the last few weeks that we have been in services on our Sunday nights, we've been looking at different songs in the faith, songs that we often sing. But oftentimes, you know, as we sing these songs, we don't think a lot about the words to them. We don't think about the meaning that's there behind them. But there's an awful lot of truth in these words that needs not to be missed. So when we sing, we need to be singing from our heart. We need to be singing from our mind as well. Now, tonight, I'm going to look at a song that we don't sing too often, but a song that I know that everyone here knows. And the song that we're going to be looking at is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I have to admit to you that this is probably not a song that I would have chosen for tonight based upon the time of year. I don't want to confuse anybody with my intentions. You all know my convictions on the celebration of Christmas, and many here share those same convictions. Some don't, and I believe that personally a man needs just to be fully persuaded within their own heart. For those who don't, we really have two choices this time of year, and that is that we can be all huffy and puffy about things, and some even get mad, or we can take this chance to, when people seem to have their hearts tuned upon Christ, to take this time to point them to Christ and point them to the death of Christ. And I prefer the latter of those two choices. And to paraphrase the words of Paul, to the Jew he was a Jew, and to the Gentile he was a Gentile, to the weak he was weak, so that he might win others by the preaching of the gospel. By and by far the world is in ignorance. So when someone asks you about Christ, maybe they don't know much about Him, maybe they know a little bit about what the season seemingly is all about, but listen, take the opportunity to tell them about the true Christ. He didn't come for presents. He didn't come for lights. He came to die for the sins of man. And that is the message they need to hear. Now that being said, many of the songs that are sung this time of year, so-called hymns or whatever they might be, are often unscriptural. And the reason for this is because they're often based upon the traditions of men and not the Word of God. But there are a couple of pearls that are out there, songs that have wonderful lyrics, wonderful words, and words that these songs should be sung, and not just in December, but really all the time of year because of how good how scriptural they truly are, and such is the case with this song. And it's found on page 81 of the Old Baptist Hymnal, if you have that one in your hand. But if you have the Berea close to you and you want to turn to that, that's page 59 in the Berea as well. Now, before we begin, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this song and how we got it in its current form. If you look in the left-hand corner, you will see here that the words were originally composed by Charles Wesley. Of course, we know that Charles Wesley was one of the founders of the Methodist movement that swept through England and the Americas in the in the mid to late 1700s. Charles was a man who was truly gifted of God when it came to the writing of songs. And if you've ever studied his songs out, you'll see that many of them have great theological depth. You know, there's a lot of songs that I love, you know, in our hymnals, but when you go through them, they sound good, they have a nice tune to them, but they don't have a lot of depth. And then we got some songs that are just filled full of depth. And he certainly wrote songs with depth. In his life, he wrote more than 6,000 hymns, produced in many different hymnals. And one thing that Charles did not like was someone to tinker with his songs. He hated when somebody tinkered with his songs because he didn't want anybody messing with his theology and him getting the blame for it later on. But that did not stop this song from being tinkered with. As a matter of fact, this song was tinkered with by one of his best friends who was by the name of George Whitfield, and you also see his name up there as well in the left-hand corner. Now, George Whitfield was a Methodist preacher as well. He was a Calvinistic Methodist, so he stood at odds there with the Wesley brothers in that he preached the doctrines of grace. George Whitfield was a very famous and recognizable man here in the United States. He was said to traveled further in the United States than any white man ever had at this time. He was the most recognized person in the United States. That's pretty amazing. And as he traveled all along the way, he drew great crowds. He was a great speaker as well. Now, George took this song that Charles had wrote and he changed the words to it, and the words that he changed it to, it stuck ever since. Charles had originally written, "Hark, how the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings." Now, we would have no idea what welkin means, but welkin is an old English term, and it means vault of heaven, the vault of heaven. So, George came along and he wrote this, and as we said, it has stuck ever since. But let's begin here to look at the song that we have here before us. And let's begin here at the very beginning. The first words we have, of course, are, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." The words, of course, are drawn from the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke. And I would ask that you'd turn with me there to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, we'll be preaching out of the hymnal, but we'll be preaching out of the Word of God throughout this entire night, so we'll be turning to quite a few texts. Verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," is the Messiah, the Lord. "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, some object to the lyrics here composed of Whitfield saying that it doesn't say here that the angels sang. But certainly the scriptures tell us that the angels do sing. We know that they sing in heaven, they sing praises to God, and here we see that they were praising God on this earth. So I don't think it's a big stretch to say that they were singing at all. But the point is when Christ came to this earth, the angels announced His birth. And you know, the Father did not send the angels to go into Rome and speak to the emperor. He did not send the angels to go into the house of Herod and announce His birth there. He did not send His angels to go into Jerusalem and speak to the priest about the coming of the Christ. Instead, He sent His angels to speak to shepherds that were in a field. men that were most ordinary, men that were most simple, and how fitting it would be for the birth of Jesus to be announced to them first, for Christ too was to become a shepherd of a great multitude of sheep. He said of Himself, "I am the good shepherd." And He is still our shepherd tonight, standing at the right hand of the Father. The shepherds were the first ones to come and to worship Him as the newborn babe. You will find absolutely no mention of the wise men here at this time, by the way. It doesn't appear that they got there till a couple years later. And as a side note, the shepherds are in their fields tending to their sheep. And that gives us a clue as to the time of year that this was, or at least the time of year that it was not. You see, if the birth of Christ was truly in December, the shepherds would not have been in the fields tending their sheep, because that is winter, and the sheep are winter during that time. Now, before we move on in our lyrics here, I want you to think about the message that the angel spoke. Glory to God in the highest. Folks, there's a lot of people out there today that are looking for all kinds of glory. But there is only one true who is worthy of our glory, and that is our holy and righteous God. The hymn goes on to say, "Peace on earth." And truly, the angels, they speak not just here at His first coming, but they're speaking of His second coming as well. But without His first coming, without Him first coming as that suffering servant, Messiah ben Joseph, then He could not later come as Messiah ben David. That is, the conquering Christ, the King of Kings, who truly ushers in peace. You know, since the Garden of Eden, there has never been a time of true peace upon this earth. Someday, though, when Christ establishes His kingdom here, and Satan and his host of demons are bound, then there will be complete peace, completely upon the earth. But until then, there'll continue to be division. Until then, there'll continue to be strife. And as a matter of fact, the gospel itself will continue to divide people. Christ said of the gospel in Mark, He said, "Think not that I come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." That's what He said at His first coming. The gospel of Christ will continue to bring peace to the hearts of believers. But listen, to the unbeliever, it will always cause division and it will cause strife. Now, the words go on here to say, "And mercy mild." And mercy mild. It is gentle. That's the word, not that mild means there, but what is mercy? Mercy is when God withholds the punishment that we deserve. You know, since the time of creation, man has continued to groan against God. The wickedness of sin has continually been lifted up before God. And you know, we think back to the time before the flood, and when the Lord destroyed the earth, and what civilization was like at that time, when God looked down and saw that there was only evil in their hearts continually. You know what, folks? We are no better than they. We are living in times just as they were in the days of Noah. And we are worthy of death. We are worthy of destruction. But thanks be to God that He has gentle mercy on us all. In fact, both to the just and to the unjust. And thanks be to God that He doesn't just show us mercy, in fact, but He extends grace to all that will believe. You see, there will come a day when the long-suffering of God will come to an end. The mercy that God is still extending will come to an end, because judgment has to be paid before an all-holy and righteous God. And as much as mercy means withholding that which we deserve, grace is, in fact, doing what? God giving us blessings of things that we don't deserve. We're not worthy of His blood. We were not worthy of His life. But you know what? Without His blood and without His life, then we can never have the next words in this song. God and sinner reconciled. God and sinner reconciled. The only way for God to extend His grace was for there to be a substitute for our sins, one who would come and pay our sin debt. That is why Christ came. He was born to die, born to make atonement, born to make reconciliation between God and His elect. And then we read the words, "Joyful, all ye nations, rise." These words remind me of the promise that was made by God there to Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. You might recall the words of Genesis 12:3. I quote them quite a bit. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." God promised to Abraham that of his seed would come the one in which every nation upon this earth would be blessed. And that one is Jesus Christ. The psalmist writes similar words in Psalms 117 and verse 1. When it speaks about God's merciful kindness, it says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people." It is of every nation, every tongue. Now, look here at the next words. "Join the triumph of the skies." This, of course, is not speaking about the angels that are there praising Jesus Christ at His birth, but again points us to the time in which Christ will come in all power and all glory and all triumph. And then we read, "With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem." Again here, this is Whitfield changed the words here. The original words was "Christ is born today." But he changed it to "Christ is born in Bethlehem." And of course, we read of how Joseph and Mary, how they went to Bethlehem because of the tax that had to be paid. Their roots were in Bethlehem. They weren't currently living there, but their roots were there, and they had to go back to where their families were from to pay these taxes. And their return to Bethlehem was no accident at all. God had planned it out from the very beginning of time, and He declared it through His prophet over in Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2. These are some scriptures that you ought to underline in your Bible. But Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be a little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel." Now pay a lot of attention to this. Underline this if you can, especially this last part. "Whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." Bethlehem, that small little town. Bethlehem means house of bread. And how fitting that the bread of life would be born here in this little town. And then the chorus rings out, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." Now let's look at verse number 2. You know, most people know the words to the first verse, but they don't know the scriptural depth of the second and third verse. And as a matter of fact, if you ever have time to go and look this song up and read the remainder of the verses written by Wesley, there's a lot of truth in those other verses that we don't often sing. It says, "Christ by highest heaven adored." Christ by highest heaven adored. You know, there are many today who believe that Jesus was just a man. There are some today who believe that Jesus Christ was a created angel. The Lord said in His commandments, and His commandments, by the way, are just as true in heaven as they are on earth. They stand on both. He said that thou shalt have no other gods before me. He also said in those commandments that we should not bow ourselves down in holy reverence to any likeness of anything in heaven or in earth. Over in the book of Philippians, we read, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Folks, the very fact that the angels show adoration and worship of Jesus Christ, the very fact that we are commanded to, the very fact that every man will one day stand before Christ and confess Him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, attests that He is God. That He is God. And then we read Christ, the everlasting Lord. Christ can only give us everlasting life, folks, because He Himself is everlasting. I want you to consider that. He can only give us everlasting life because He is everlasting. In the Gospel of John, you know the words very well. In John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." You know, there has never been a time that God has not existed. That's a hard thing for us to understand, because everything in our life has a beginning and everything in our life has an ending. But to God there has been no beginning, and to God there will be no ending. And likewise, because Jesus Christ is God, there has never been a time without Jesus, and there will never be a time without Jesus. He is everlasting to everlasting. And now we read the words, "Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb." Instead of the word "late" in today's language, we might use the word "now." Now He's come in time. It is speaking here from the angel's perspective, telling the shepherds that Jesus Christ has been born. And we see here that He was to be born of a virgin's womb. Or in this song it speaks of the virgin's womb. You know, every good Jewish girl who understood the depths of the Word of God must have hoped that they might carry the child who would be the Christ. The Lord gave instructions that the Christ child would be unlike any that had ever been born. And I want, if you would, to turn with me there. Again, a verse that ought to be underlined in our Bibles. In Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel." A virgin shall conceive. Folks, this was to be a sign to others. Now, there's a lot of people look at that word in the Hebrew, and I believe the word is Alma, and Alma means a young girl. But understand, folks, that a young girl was considered to be a virgin in these days. If you were an Alma, you were considered to be a virgin. And besides that, the Scripture says here that He's going to give them a sign. Folks, young women get pregnant all the time. But a virgin does not get pregnant. That is a sign. Now, we learn, of course, in the New Testament that Mary conceived this child by the Holy Ghost before she ever came together with her husband. Scripture on multiple occasions sets forth this truth. Over in Luke in chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, it says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You know, there are so many seemingly today, a lot of seemingly religious folks that do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They see it as outside the realm of nature. Folks, it's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Our Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And the next few lines all center around the same thought, so we're going to read them all together here. It says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. We're told in Scripture again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Before he came, Jesus Christ was in the glory and in the splendor of heaven. But he put off all his glory. He put off all that he had, and he put on the robes of flesh to come to this earth. Not as anyone special, but to come as a little child, to live as we live, to walk as we walk, to experience what we experience from birth unto death. And when he came to this earth, I want you to understand that even though, and a lot of people, you know, that's why they don't mind Christmas, is because it seems like Jesus Christ there is that little helpless child. You know, that's what they think of. But folks, listen, when Jesus Christ came, when he was there as that child, he was as much God as he was when he left the glory and the splendor of heaven. His little hand was holding the universe together. Christ later said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Folks, what a glorious sight it must have been. And I can't imagine that very night when the shepherds come and they saw him there wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger, and they looked into the face of Jesus, because what they were looking into was the very face of God. The Scripture that we read earlier from Jeremiah, speaking about him being born of a virgin, said his name shall be Emmanuel. The angel Gabriel announced his birth to Joseph, and he said that this child would fulfill these words of Jeremiah. The name Emmanuel means God with us. Folks, that literally means God with us. God dwelling with man. No mortal man could be Emmanuel. No angel could be Emmanuel. But Jesus Christ is God too, could. And the chorus rings out again, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Now let's look here to the third verse. And he begins by proclaiming the name of Christ with some of his biblical titles. We know we have all kinds of biblical titles for Christ, but Charles brings out some of them here. He says, hail, the heaven-born Prince of Peace. If you're in the book of Isaiah, and you should be at this point in time, turn over to chapter 9, and verse number 6. Again, very important verse in the Word of God. I'd recommend you to underline this one too. As a matter of fact, I'd go over to John 1, chapter 1 and verse 1, and I'd put a little cross-reference to this verse right here in particular. Because there's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus Christ is God and Lord and all of these things. Send them back to this verse in particular. It's the same in our translation in the Jehovah's Witness translation as it is in our translation. You can't get around this. Verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That last phrase, of course, Prince of Peace, is the one that Charles draws from. And he is the one, of course, who brings peace between man and God. And the one who will eventually bring peace upon this earth forever and ever. But notice the other names that are given there, and especially the one, the Mighty God. Folks, there's no way to get around it. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And then he says, "Hail, the Son of Righteousness." Now this is a quote from the book of Malachi. You know, the book of Malachi is our last book of the Old Testament. It leaves off with the anticipation of the coming of Christ. It says in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And certainly, Christ is a picture of all righteousness because in him there was no sin. Now, we look here at the next words. It says, "Light and life to all he brings." Light and life to all he brings. You know, for most of y'all here, you're on the internet, on Facebook at least some points in your week, and I saw posted on the internet this week two words that all Calvinists hate. All in world, that we just hate those words. People assume that those words always mean everyone without exception. And rarely do they mean that when you go to the Word of God. Again, I believe it's willingly ignorant. Those words are always qualified by the text, and most of the time they mean that it's speaking about Jews and Gentiles both. Both groups of people, two groups of people, all the people of the world. Now, folks, I don't hate the word "all." And I don't hate the word "world," because you know what? Without those two words, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'm thankful that they're in the Word of God. I'm thankful that Christ brings light to all people in all nations and tongues. Then it says, "risen with healing in his wings." And that goes back to the quote there in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 that I just read to you. Healing in his wings. And this goes back to Jesus Christ on this earth as he showed his power over sickness and over disease. Making the lame to walk, making the deaf to hear, causing the blind to see. No mere man could do these things except for the Son of Righteousness, who had healing in his wings. Then the words ring out, "mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die." Jesus came into this world as any other. In mildness he lay in the poorest of conditions. And he was born for the ultimate purpose to die. And then we read these words, "born to raise the sons of earth." When Jesus died upon the cross, he did not remain there in the grave. He arose again, became the first fruits of the resurrection. Paul wrote to the church there in Thessalonica that Christ was going to come again, and when He came again, He was going to raise all those who were in the grave. And they would rise and meet Him in the sky, and then we which are alive and remain will meet Him in the air. And I look forward to that day when the sons of earth rise to meet Him in the air. And then the words, born to give them second birth. Born to give them second birth. Well, truly, we're reminded of the words of Christ to Nicodemus, the words that we preached to you this very morning. It's where we end up tonight. It's probably what got me speaking about Nicodemus this morning, is because I did this message first. But folks, in John 3 and verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So as tonight, as we finish this hymn, let me ask you the question, have you been born again? Maybe you know Jesus Christ as the babe, but do you know Him as Jesus Christ, your Lord? Lord of lords and King of kings. The one who died on the cross to take your place.